Okay, it's 4 p.m. now. Let's get started. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sino-American Silicon Products second quarter FY22 earnings call. My name is Patrick Chen, CLSA Head of Taiwan Research, and I will be your moderator today. It is our great honor to have Ms. Doris Hsu, Chairperson and CEO, Mr. C.W. Lee, VP and Spokesperson, and Ms. Jennifer Chen, VP and Deputy Spokesperson of Sino-American Silicon Products, here with us today to discuss about the company's second quarter financial results and share some views on the industry outlook. The management team will get some executive comments and prepare a presentation, and then we will have a Q&A session. So now, without further ado, let me pass this call over to Mr. C.W. Lee. C.W., please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Hello, everyone. Welcome for joining SAS first half 2022 earnings conference call. I'm C.W. Lee, SAS Vice President, as well as company spokesman. We also have Doris Hsu, Chairperson and CEO, and Jennifer Chen, Vice President and the Deputy Spokesperson in this call. First of all, Doris will give us the executive comments, and then Jennifer will present industry overview, first half financial performance, and the ESG highlights. A final Q&A section will be hosted by Doris and me later. For today's presentation file, we have uploaded on to our website. If you do not have the file on hand, please access our website for the most updated version. As usual, please note that some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation. These are subject to significant risks and uncertainties. Actual results or trends could differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to the safe harbor notice in our presentation, page one, disclaimer. Now I would like to turn the call over to Doris for page two to page 17, executive comments and the company overview. Doris, please.
Thank you very much, C.W. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. We will present our Q2 and also the first half 2022 overall performance to all share of the material with all of you. First of all, let me share some comments of our overall financial results and update of our operation status. If you have our material, could you please move to page two? Let's start with our financial highlight. SAS has achieved many best efforts in basically in three fronts: revenue, gross margin, and operating profit. Revenue wise, our June revenue totaled 7.3 billion with 16.5% YOY. In Q2, the whole Q2 this year, our revenue totaled 20.3 billion with 18% YOY. This trend, this has been increasing sequentially from Q3 2020, so already 8 quarters in a row. So it's a very good performance on our revenue growth. And then for the whole first half 2022, our revenue totaled 39 billion with 17.5% YOY. All of these records, revenues are our record high, new record high. And next point is gross margin. In first half, our gross margin and operating margin, both of these two index exceeded 40% and 30%, 33% respectively. So I think our overall gross margin and operating profit margin, both of these two are doing pretty good in Q2 and also for the whole first half 2022. Then move to EPS. I think our EPS for Q2 and first half were 3.11 and 5.26 respectively. Although our overall performance was quite strong, and we set a lot of new record highs in the first half this year, but our SAS EPS was not as good as previous several quarters, mainly due to the mark-to-market valuation loss on Siltronic shares. GWC Global Wafers is holding. That is the main reason of our weak EPS performance, which eroded around 6 NT per share in the first half this year. If excluding these factors, our SAS first half 2022 EPS would have amounted to another record high, which would be as high as 11.3 NT per share for the first half this year. Page four, please. Page four, I would like to share some information of the solar energy industry outlook. I think the whole Europe is facing new energy reality. Russia's aggression and soaring energy prices have underlined the urgency to build a self-sustaining, resilient energy system to withstand and adapt to the turbulence and instability of climate and macroeconomics. Most of European countries are drastically accelerating their clean energy transition in the effort to increase energy independence and shift from their traditional fossil fuels toward renewables. Domestic demand are underpinned by Taiwan government 2050 carbon neutrality resolution, coupled with hiking power rate for large-scale industrial users. In Taiwan, we anticipate that this new power rate will stimulate enterprises and household solar installation. Policy and demand fronts will power solar industry with structural support. So I think the overall solar industry demand will be remain very strong in the next several years. I will share some key numbers with everyone. There are some key numbers from global's viewpoint. From global's viewpoints, I think despite an unprecedented pandemic, global solar capacity doubled in 3 years from 2018. Now, Worldwide solar capacity has already reached 1 terawatt capacity in April 2022. 3 years ago, it was just half of this, but right now in April this year, 2022, worldwide solar capacity has already reached 1 terawatt. And next very important number I would like to share with everyone is that I think it took about a decade for worldwide solar capacity to reach one terawatt from 100 gigawatt in 2012. In 2012, worldwide capacity was from around 100 gigawatt, but 10 years in 2022, April this year, it already reached 1 terawatt. So it's 1 terawatt, but now the market is expecting to hit around 2 terawatt mark within the next only 3 years by 2025. I think this shows very strong demand for solar and very quick growth of solar market. So in 2012, market worldwide capacity is 100 gigawatt, 2022 is 1 terawatt, and 2025, we are expecting that the worldwide market will reach to 2 terawatt. That's a huge growth. And the third item is that I think solar PV claimed that In 2021, last year, solar PV installation is 168 gigawatt last year worldwide. This stands for 56% of the worldwide net renewable power generating capacity installed in 2021. The second largest is wind power. Wind power accounts for 31% of the total renewable power in the whole world. So that's very, these numbers are very interesting and very important, very meaningful for renewable energy. And also I would like to share some information about the EU, some overall cost performance in EU. EU renewable energy prices help bring the whole PV cost down by 82% over the past 10 years. In the past 10 years, renewable energy costs have been in Europe already dropped by 82%. And turning it into one of the, turning the solar into one of the most competitive sources of electricity in the Europe. Also, in European region, 39 gigawatt new solar power will be installed in this year. So this will be replacing 4.57 billion cubic metrics of Russian gas. So this is from this geopolitical tensions from Russia-Ukraine war to force the growth of the whole EU, the whole European region's solar installation. So all, around 39 gigawatt of the solar system will be installed this year. That's a big number. And in order to reach 2030 target for renewables proposed by RE Power EU plan in EU, Renewable Energy Power EU plan. In order to reach the goal in 2030, EU will need to install on average approximately 45 gigawatt per year from now on. So I think these numbers, I found that these numbers are very meaningful and very very helpful for us to understand the potential growth of the solar industry in the world. Page five, please. Page five, I want to make a quick update of our dividend payout. SAS will distribute a cash dividend of 4.5 NT per share with a total amount of 2.6 billion for our second half 2021 performance next Friday or August 12th. We will pay out this dividend, 4.5 NT per share next Friday. And then page seven, page seven and eight, I'm going to make a very quick update of GlobalWafers overall performance. I think, as you know very well, that GlobalWafers accounts for a big part, around 90% of SAS overall financial results. So I would like to make a quick update of GlobalWafers financial results on page seven and eight. GlobalWafers also achieved a quite remarkable first half 2022, considering all the headwinds like the pandemic, lockdown, rising commodity and transportation costs, and geopolitical tensions. I think GlobalWafers is doing pretty well in the first half. Its revenue, GlobalWafers revenue, gross margin, operating profit margin, and prepayment amount are all best ever in the first half 2022. In first half 2022, GlobalWafers revenue hit 33.8 billion NT. This has been growing for 10 quarters continuously. So this is a very good performance. And GlobalWafers gross margin percentage hit 43.1% in the first half. Operating profit margin amounted to over 36%. Both of these two are very very good for GlobalWafers overall performance as well. And regarding to the EPS of GlobalWafers for the first half this year, GlobalWafers EPS was 10.25 NT per share. Again, this is mainly affected by the Siltronic shares held by GlobalWafers now. According to IFRS accounting rules, we have to do the mark-to-market valuation every quarter end. So this quarter, same as Q1, we recognize a big loss because of Siltronic stock price. So that was a big impact. So if we exclude Siltronic share valuation loss, GlobalWafers first half 2022 EPS would have amounted to record-breaking 26.2 per share, 26.2 NT per share. We could reach this number if there was no Siltronic shares mark-to-market valuation loss. Okay, then next is prepayment. I would like to highlight the prepayment as well. As of end of June 2022, GlobalWafers prepayment totaled 36 billion NT or 1.2 billion US dollar. This is increasing by 9% in Q2 or 3 billion NT in Q2. So that's a big increase in Q2 as well. Page 9, semiconductor industry overall overview. Regarding semiconductor industry overview, although the pandemic and the macro uncertainties have magnified the slowdown in the customer in the consumer demands, semiconductor industry remains pretty resilient. In addition, technology advancement in end applications like automotive, industrial, and cloud services are a structural support for long-term momentum. So I'll move to page 13 for SAS overall group business and reinvestments. Page 13. SAS Group is composed of two business sectors. One is solar, and another big pillar is semiconductor. In solar front, vertical integrated supply chain spanning across cell, module, power plant, and renewable energy solution, like SAS. SAS is one of SAS new business. This contributes SAS as a real green energy total solution provider. In semiconductor front, SAS forms a strategic alliance with Actron, AWSC, TSC, and CWT, and also Transform. And these strategic alliance empowering SAS to access expensive in advanced end applications that targets the mega trends like 5G, EV, and compound semiconductor. I will explain more details later on. This page is a snapshot of the end application of the reinvestment of the SAS Group. Each one has its intrinsic value. Apart from GlobalWafers, the silicon wafer maker, we have GlobalWafers is a pure silicon wafer maker plus some compound material like silicon carbide and gallium nitride. So GlobalWafers is a pure material supplier. And for the other semiconductor reinvestments, like Advanced Wireless Semiconductor Company, or we call it AWSC. AWSC is a professional gallium arsenide foundry service company. It's actively engaging in manufacturing process development of gallium nitride in recent years. So their focus, majority of the business still gallium arsenide, but quite a lot of new applications are under development, and mainly for using gallium nitride on silicon and some other compound material. The second reinvestment company I would like to introduce is Transform. Transform manufactures high performance and high reliability gallium nitride semiconductors for high voltage power conversion applications. And now it's listed in NASDAQ. And the third one is Actron, ATC, Actron. Actron is a world top one automotive diode supplier and with very solid partnership with a tier one in some major big six automotive makers. Through investment in Actron, SAS sees the EV trend very, very well. And the third one is, the next one is CrystalWise, CWT. CrystalWise is known for its expertise in hard and brittle substrate process, including sapphire, gallium arsenide, LT and LN. Those are the key core competence of CrystalWise. And TSC, the last one I want to share is TSC. TSC is one of the major specialty gas vendor in semiconductor industry, not only in Taiwan, but also worldwide. With proximity to serving local semiconductor ecosystem, TSC is beneficial for customers' business continuity plan. And local supply also mitigates quite a lot of macro uncertainty. So TSC so far is doing okay. Page 15, the picture on page 15 demonstrate the application fields of SAS Group, including charging station, EV, inverter, satellite, mobile, and large scale base stations for 5G infrastructures. All of these technologies embody the world's need for connectivity, both physically and mentally, the key word for human society. And that's a key development for SAS's direction as well, connectivity. Page 16 and 17, we will update a little bit about our rationale for the strategic partnership. I think the rationale of the strategic partnership is based on the following thought. The first one is diversify investment to strengthen deployment and reduce reliance on single business to mitigate risk. In the past 30 years, SAS Group was 100% relying on silicon wafer and silicon related product. But in the past decades, we grow silicon, but also we reinvest some other industry related industry, mainly for power, solar related and semiconductors. So by doing so, we diversify our investments. Also, we strengthen our overall deployment, and also we reduce our reliance on silicon only. So that mitigates a lot of risk for SAS. And the second reason for choosing this reinvestment is that we want to expand our territory into high potential business like gallium arsenide. We were not in the gallium arsenide, but by investing AWSC, now we have much better understanding and we are much closer with the Wi-Fi and other 5G or even more advanced connectivity business. And the last reason is because that we want to enlarge SAS market value through the revenue growth and also continuous improvement on our overall profitability. That's the reason why we established this strategic partnership. The last page I want to share is that is our group revenue by business segment. So if we break down SAS Group revenue of first half 2022, GWC weighs around 90%, while the rest 10% is contributed by solar and TSC. solar percentage increased by 2% to around 13% compared to 11% in 2021, reflecting the demand for renewable energy becomes more burgeoning. And we think that this will in this revenue scale will enlarge in the near future as well, with AWSC formally become a subsidy of SAS Group. So its revenue will be recognized from July. The above are what I want to share with all of you today. And thank you very much for your attention. The above are my comments. So I will pass to Jennifer. Jennifer will share more on our industry trend and also our ESG highlight with all of you. Thank you very much. And Jennifer, please.
Thank you, Doris. Let's turn to industry overview. Starting from page 19. By the impact of Ukraine-Russian war, EU had been exposing under the risk of food and energy supply. In order to reach EU energy independence, the renewable energy deployment become urgent and crucial. So on May 18th, EU released RE Power EU plan to remove Russian fossil fuel impact. With this, EU set up solar target to add, as you can see here, that 320 gigawatt by 2025. So this is almost a double from previous years, and around 600 gigawatt by 2030. Move to page 20. EU countries accelerate energy transition. There are 19 governments speed up the decarbonization for renewable energy plan. The original plan for 2030 was 55%, but now you can see that it increased to 63%. The fossil fuel further cut to 31% and comparing to its original plan set in 2019. For page 21, you can see that on the right-hand side, the renewable energy original target was 1818 terawatt hour and now increased to 2066. The left-hand side shows previous fossil fuel set up in 2019 was 876 terawatt hour and now remain at 595 terawatt hour with the new plan. Moving to page 22. This page shows the plan for renewable energy. The right-hand side is the renewable energy, and recently they also add the nuclear and to replace the fossil fuel in each nation. So it is already in place in every nation, in most of the EU nations. Page 23. We would like to share with you the worldwide trend for the decarbonization for global sustainability. There are more than 17 countries announced for net zero plan. Taiwan also announced it earlier this year. So you can see that US, China said in 2060, and even India said in 2070. But most of the countries are before 2050 as the target. Next page. Starting from page 24, I would like to share with you that Taiwan government pledged a net zero emission in 2050, and the government will have nearly 900 billion budget by 2030 and 50% focus in renewable, grid and storage. For 25, page 25, Taiwan net zero transition for electricity. Electricity is the single largest source of CO2 emission. The renewable is anticipated to weigh up to 70% by 2050. Next, I would also share with you that Taiwan's determination is to support by policy like the mandatory rooftop PV system installation and hiking power rate, which will reduce the gap between gray and green power, making renewable energy more attractive for enterprise and house users. The installation for 2025 is 20 gigawatts, so, and also will expand to 30 gigawatt in 2030. So this is the local support and promote for solar energy. Page 27. Taiwan is an isolated island and energy rely on import. In order to improve energy independence, renewable energy is the solution. So solar becomes the key of energy transformation in Taiwan. Taking actual output of July 23rd, what you see is the actual data we log out. And the electricity of that day, that 16.9% output from renewable energy. And among it, that already weigh 89%, which is 15.1% is from solar. So it is already almost 90% from the total renewable energy. Page 29. I think this slide shows us the current installation of Taiwan solar capacity is around 8.4 gigawatt. Next page. The global push to phase out coal and fossil fuel has been boosting the demand for clean energy. This is the global solar installation plan. So this is expected to grow at 8% CAGR and estimate reach 250 gigawatt in 2025. As previously explained by Doris, that the jump is big, that for this year it reached only 1,000 gigawatt, but the total installation in within a decade, which is 2031, it will reach up to 3.5 terawatt. So this is a huge jump. And so we anticipate a very strong growth in the future years. Next slide. Okay, so for the financial statement, SAS achieved outstanding results with double-digit annual growth in the revenue, gross profit, and operating profit. But I think, as previously explained, that the net profit were eroded due to the Siltronic evaluation. And so this is impacted a little bit. Next slide. Regarding the first half of 2022 consolidated financial result, SAS cumulative revenue total 39 billion with 17.5% Y-on-Y, operating profit of 13 billion with 57.2% Y-on-Y. EPS is 5.26 and the gross profit margin reached 40.3 with 6.4% Y-on-Y. Operating profit also achieved 33.3%. So this is our first half result. Page 33, the revenue performance, page 34. The gross profit of first half reached 15.7 billion, and the gross profit and gross margin keep increasing from year 2016. We keep improving it. For page 35, operating profit or first half, we reach 13 billion and the profit margin has increasing from year 2016. Page 36. The first half net profit result is 5.35 billion. If excluding non-cash valuation loss of Siltronics, the net profit would have amounted to 12.16 billion. Moving to our EPS performance. The first half is performance is 5.26. If excluding all impacts, SAS first half EPS would have amounted to 11.35. Next, I would like to present the key ESG achievement in the past years. Please turn to page 41. SAS Group commit the renewable energy usage of group's global operations by 2050. And for solar cumulative power plant capacity, we reach 145 megawatt, and that is equivalent to 5.1 million trees CO2 emission reduction. Next page. For SAS Green Factory performance, by means of process improvement and energy saving measures, we reduce the CO2 emission at 412 metric ton. For water consumption, we reduce 38.8 usage, and the electricity also reduced in 44.9%. And these are under the certified ISO 50001 energy management system. Next page. In here, I would like to share with you about what we've done for the water saving. In year 2021, last year, Taiwan experienced the worst drought in over 50 years. Therefore, to reduce water intake and also implement water recycling are important. Our recycled water usage increased year by year, and we reached 61% last year, which means we don't take the fresh water and we are recycling it. And this is a big achievement in our plant. For page 45th, lastly about governance, SAS has been awarded top 5% corporate governance among all Taiwan listed companies for eight consecutive years. Now, I will hand the call over to Doris and CW for Q&A section. Thank you, Doris and CW, please.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. I think before we open the Q&A section, I will quickly answer two, three questions we received the last couple of days. The first one is that US has suspended import tariffs on solar panels produced in four Southeast Asian countries, including Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Cambodia, for 2 years to reboot the stored solar installation in the US. So what's the impact to SAS? Okay, here's our answer. We see this policy is basically beneficial for Taiwan solar makers. Previously, we are facing price challenges of the products dumped into Taiwan from those countries. Now, US decision reveals its determination to build up a domestic solar manufacturing industry. to balance its climate plans. In fact, Europe is also doing so to escalate its climate goals and upscale renewable energy. Actually, I think that energy security is national security. This is fully demonstrated in recent world events like Russia cuts natural gas supply to so many countries. So that's energy solution or energy policy. Actually, it should be as important as the country's overall policy and nation policy as well. So locating in global solar belt, I think Taiwan has its geographical advantages, which makes solar energy a very ideal option to build energy resilience in Taiwan. So I believe that renewable energies led by solar is the right solution for Taiwan as well. So we have no impact, but some positive result from this US new tariff-free decision for those four countries. That's the first question. And the second quick question is that 2022 will be a very good year for SAS solar business, which is very likely to break 10 billion NT milestone again this year. For your information, last year's revenue was SAS solar revenue was 7.7 billion. But several weeks ago, I answered to a media in a media interview. I told them that it's very likely that SAS solar revenue will be over 10 billion this year. That means around 30% growth. So the question is asking me that, hey, please tell us what is the main driver for such an increment? Is that quantity, price, or any special reason for the growth, for this revenue growth around 30% YOY? And our answer is that there are four main reasons for this big growth this year for SAS solar BU revenue. The first one is, of course, due to strong demand. I think our shipment quantity increased a lot this year. And the second reason is that because of material price increase, such as polysilicon price increase and some other material price increase. So polysilicon price increase, mono wafer also increased a lot because of this price increase. So overall, the whole solar industry this year, sale price, module price, all of these prices are going up as well. So the high price, that's high ASP, that's another reason that why our revenue is much higher than last year. And the third reason is currency. You know, that foreign exchange rate, weak NT dollar, make quite a lot of our revenue is in US dollars. So weak NT, definitely that help us to increase our revenue as well. And the last reason is because of expansion and upgrade of our product. Starting from January this year, we have no more smaller scale cell anymore. Starting from this year, we upgrade everything to M6 and M10. From Q4 this year, we will have even much bigger M10 or G12, that kind of big size cells. So those new CapEx, new upgrade of our production, that is one of the main reasons of our revenue growth this year. So these two are the main questions I would like to share with everyone. The last question was a quick one. You know, in Taiwan, the power rate, electricity price, unit price increase by 15% starting from July 1st. So the rate increase as big as 15%. That's definitely a big impact for a lot of industry in Taiwan. So we were asked by some analysts that how is the impact and what's the weight, how much percent of your electricity cost versus SAS solar COGS, COGS, total cost. So what's the percentage of our electricity cost stand for from the total COGS? So a quick answer for this is that electricity cost accounts for slightly lower than 5% of our overall total COGS. This time, 15% price up. That's definitely very big for us, but we are working very aggressively on overall power consumption reduction. That's what all of our engineers and production managements are working on right now. So we hope to mitigate the impact a little bit. I think the impact to our overall gross margin will be, we'll try to make it lower than 1%. Okay, that's all I want to share with the with everyone. So next, I would like to open the Q&A section. If you have any question, please raise your question and CW will answer the question. If any further supplement answer needed, then I will support as well. Okay, thank you very much. Let's open the Q&A section now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doris. Let's now move on to the Q&A session. If you would wish to ask a question, please use the raised hand feature in your control bar, or you can type your question in the Q&A window, and I'll raise it for you. Before we receive the first question, if I may ask a high-level question regarding your revenue composition. So given the seemingly very strong demand for the solar industry and the demand outlook for solar does seem to be less cyclical than the semiconductor. Do you have idea or level of contribution coming from the solar business versus the semiconductor, and how do you balance these different businesses within your solar side of the business to avoid the cyclicality and make the earnings outlook more stable or sustainable? Thank you.
Oh, Patrick, this is CW. Thanks for your question. I think you are asking the solar performance, is that right?
The
financial result. Actually, in the past, SAS has done many work to transform the overall solar business. So solar business itself already contribute the profit already, and they start double digit. If you check our financial report, in before the final page, there's a separate between semiconductor and the solar business. And solar business is contribute a lot of profit now already. We have several different products like a cell or module. And thanks to the strong demand of green energy, the demand become very strong. And recently, because of the polysilicon price increasing, so we are forced to also increase the ASP as well. And we also reflect some, partially reflect to our end customer to raise the price. So currently the solar business is very good. And going forward, as Doris mentioned, the demand also, the perspective is very, very, very good. So we are very positive for the solar business itself for the contribution. I'm not sure if I answer your question.
Yes, thank you. That's very clear. Thank you, CW. So again, if you wish to ask a question, please use raise hand and I'll unmute your line, or simply type your question in the Q&A window and I'll raise it for you. Can we take the last call? Yeah, I suppose the team has covered most of the areas that investors may. Oh yes, we do have one from Jennifer. Now, Jennifer, could you unmute yourself and ask a question? Thank you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Hi. I just have a question regarding the solar business. As Doris mentioned, that you probably benefit from the U.S. probe of China imports. I just realized that Sun American has a subsidiary called Silfab, And I was wondering, because I've saw Silvap seems to have some operation in US, I was wondering if you can update us the Silvap's current status and how's the management's view on the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 that's just been released last week. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Jennifer. I think you are asking for the monocell products, is that right?
The Silvap they acquired many years ago. I wonder if it's the same Silvap solar in the States, in the United States.
Yeah, let me maybe Sylvan, let me answer this question. Yes, okay. We Silvap was at the very beginning was a Italian company. We owned only 15% of the company from day one. But now the Silvap USA, yes, is still doing quite okay. They have two operations. That's the module business for Silvap now is focusing on module business in the US. One production site is in US, another in Washington, and another location is in Canada. So they have two production locations, but SAS's ownership over Silvap is lower than, it's close to 5% or slightly lower than 5% now. So it's very minor. So we don't consolidate anything. For us, it's just one of our reinvestment. And of course, Silvap is a very good customer for us as well. We supply them quite a lot of sales. We work very close to them. Closely with them to develop some new sales, new product together. So that's the relationship. But our ownership is pretty low.
Okay. Thank you. And to follow up on solar, can you update us on your solar capacity and whether you have what kind of expansion plan you have to seize the market opportunities? Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, please. Stories, please.
Okay, I think if we're talking about, I think you know that, Jennifer, I think you know that we have sale operation in Taiwan, and we also have module operation in Germany, Prenzlau, that's Alio. Our total capacity is lower than 1 gigawatt, but we don't really increase our total capacity. I mean, for sale, both sale and module, that's not what we are doing. What we are doing now is to improve, to change the product from, you know, middle level output to a bigger, most advanced stuff to make high output material. But if you are talking about the total capacity, actually, we replace because we phase out old lines and install new high efficiency stuff. So total capacity is still lower than 1 gigawatt per year right now in Taiwan.
Got it. So we just transform the current production line to bring up more outputs, but we don't have like adding production line plan.
We do add production line, but that's not, you know, but we do add production line, but we phase out old production line as well. So total capacity is close. It's of course increased, but it's not a big leapfrog jump. That not that big. So it increased, but what's more meaningful for us is that the products are totally different. Those are, you know, kind of that for a semiconductor, you migrate from the mature design, jump to an advanced node, that kind of concept. So for solar also, we phase out this year, starting from this year, we phase out all of our old products, like G1 or more mature products. So starting from this year, we migrate our production line to most advanced one, and we are going to have 500 watt output per module. That kind of product will be launched next year. So it's kind of like we phase out some lines and we add up some new lines, and total capacity do increase, but it's still slightly lower than 1 gigawatt.
Okay, got it. It's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Yeah, thank you very much for your question, Jennifer. Can we take the last question, if there's any? Okay, if not, before we go, Doris, do you have any closing remark or key message that you want the group to take away with?
Yes, thank you very much for everyone joining the team. I would like to say, share one thing, especially for SAS, is that I'm very confident that this year will be another big growth year for SAS. This growth will be coming from both solar and semiconductor. So we are doing very, very okay. And although right now there are some uncertainties, but in general, our production lines are almost still fully loaded right now. Thank you very much.
Thanks again, Doris and management team for your time and valuable insight. And thank you all for your participation. That concludes the call for today. You all have a lovely evening. Take care.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.